Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And if things went correctly, we'll find out right now. We've got Janet Manko on the line. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, and we've got Cynthia Hauswinder on the line.
Hello.
That worked perfectly. The first thing we have to do is wish Janet Manko a very happy, mildly belated birthday.
Sure. My birthday was yesterday.
Wow. That's why it's only mildly belated.
Happy, happy birthday. All right. That's all we get. That's all.
That's more than enough.
Yeah. it's over.
It's much more than enough. Okay. Let us go to the Lakeville Journal. And Patrick Sullivan has a great story behind the dangers and signs, crowds at the falls. And yesterday, Cynthia, I don't know if you saw all the activity on Facebook, somebody who was at the falls 2 weeks ago posted an unbelievably edited video that shows the directions to the Great Falls, music, and how much fun it is.
Oh, God.
Well, on that post yesterday,
Where did they post it? Did they post it at, like, Northwest? Is it a local person?
I think it was Facebook, right?
It was a Facebook post, but then all of a sudden it got up on Google. It's all over the place. Anyways, so a lot of people posted from this area, please, it's a dangerous area, because the pictures there of three-year-olds being taught to walk over branches over the water and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
But what happened? I went there, and I wrote to YouTube, and I told them they should take it down.
But
I didn't hear back. But what I did see today, four or five comments written in Spanish. I Google translated them. It were all people that were at the falls at one time or another telling them, it's a beautiful place, but please don't go like this. It's a dangerous place.
Oh, that's good.
That's what you need. You need some people that were up there that can, because, you know, Patrick goes into the details here, and it's just absolutely amazing what's going on at the falls this year.
And, you know, you hate to say it, but it's safe enough that there are hundreds and hundreds of people there every weekend, and happily, not that many ambulance calls. But from our point of view, you know, if one person dies a year, that's a lot. That's plenty. But in addition, there's the problem of the crowds, which is you're taking a very beautiful, natural, pristine area, and there's a lot more activity than it's designed to manage, and people are not cleaning up, and there's no restrooms, and there's no garbage cans, because it's not meant to be a park. And it's not just happening in Salisbury and Falls Village here at the Great Falls. Of course, it's been a huge ongoing problem in Kent, where they've done a much more aggressive job of closing off the access points. But there's also a lot of it going on in Cornwall, and I sort of suspect that the next place this is going to move to, if Salisbury and Falls Village close down, is going to be at the that new recreational area they're building in West Cornwall at the historic covered bridge. And I think that's going to be a shame if there's a lot of trash and a lot of noise and a lot of people in what is a very inviting, relatively easy to find outdoor spot right in the Rushing River.
You know, and like I say, we don't blame people from Fairfield County and Bronx and Brooklyn and to get out of the city. They're looking for a place to cool down. But we just, you know, there were two drownings earlier this year in Kent. We don't want another one. And you said that, Cynthia, and that's the whole thing. In this area, when these drownings happen, it affects people up here. And because they are totally needless drownings, you can have an accident and drown. But when it's precipitated by your own actions in a dangerous area, that makes it even worse.
And as you noted, so far, people take their very small children and put them in that water, and it's not just that the water's rushing fast, it's also rushing fast from multiple directions, and the rocks are very, very slippery, and as we know, tragically, there are a lot of spots where there are mini whirlpools that are created that pull you in and that don't release you. So if you're in that water with a small child, as you saw, and if you look in Patrick's photo here, there's at least two or three small children right at the base of one of the falls coming down, where there's a rotor action that's created. So far, we haven't lost a child, although we almost lost one on July 4th weekend. That's going to be, you know, my daughter had sort of said to me, because I'm upset about this. My daughter said, why do you care so much about this? And it's like, you know, I just would hate to see somebody's small child drown like this and have felt that we didn't do anything to say to people, you can't do this.
And because it looks so benign, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but how many times have I slipped on a rock?
Well, and it's funny because it's always listed as Connecticut's Niagara Falls. And if you take that at heart, well, Niagara Falls is a dangerous place.
Right. To go nobody's there. Standing at the bottom of Niagara Falls.
All right. We will move on to a couple of different stories. I love the stories. The picture that goes with planning begins for return to school.
So Lisa Carter, who has been had a long history in Region 1, had been a beloved history teacher at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and then went on to be the principal at Salisbury Central School, and then was tapped to be the assistant superintendent for Region 1, and is very, very popular, very well-liked. And, you know, I'm sure that she'll get a rough ride, just like every other superintendent for the district has had, but I think a lot of people are hoping that she will be promoted from being the interim school superintendent to being the actual school superintendent. She certainly has an understanding of the region. So there she is at the Region 1 offices, starting to plan the proposal that they will send to the governor for the reopening of schools. And, you know, it's a really interesting push-pull where parents really are eager to get their children back in but are also nervous about it and don't really quite know if it's going to be safe for their children and also what the children can bring home in terms of infections that they might pick up. So it's a tough, tricky job, and I hope that people will trust her to have made the best decision when she does.
All right, a couple new interns. Let's talk about them for just a second.
And actually, neither of them technically is an intern. Hunter is very young, Hunter Lyle. He is the brother of Caitlin Lyle, who was, in fact, an intern. They both grew up in Sharon, both living in Sharon. Caitlin went on from being an intern to being a very competent and popular reporter for the Millerton News. So Hunter just graduated from college with a journalism degree and showed right up at our door, which we love, and has been just a delight to work with. And then Shane Stample, who, of course, everybody in the region knew Shane Stample from a very young age, really an extraordinary student and really a lovely kid, young man, excuse me, not a kid. And he is graduating from Housatonic and is off to Scotland for college, if all goes well. And he's been writing off and on through the summer. I think we have at least one article from him this week. We have a couple scheduled in the next couple of weeks. So happy to have them back. And we have, you know, we don't really have the full internship program running this summer, but we've had two interns, and we've had young people still contacting us just to kind of say, like, well, what exactly would this involve this year? So we're trying to work out programs that are, you know, of interest to every young person that comes through here.
All right. I have a story. I first saw this press release from New Vance, and I thought of Undercover Angel, the song by Donald.
Oh, Midnight Fantasy. That's going to be annoying.
Well, anybody, it was an O'Day guy, but it's not.
Angel.
Yeah. But there's Dr. Daniel J. O'Day, who has joined the medical
Alan
staff.
Alan O'Day.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Daniel O'Day is joining the staff at Sharon Hospital with Don Soucier, who has, in my anecdotal experience, seems to be a very popular cardiologist. And Dr. O'Day has been here before in the Sharon area, has returned here, and, you know, that was part of the New Vance HealthQuest promise and part of the ongoing discussion as people are coming up here more and more as weekenders and as part-timers and moving up here. A lot of people are saying, like, where do I get a doctor? I need a GP or I need a specialist. So that has been an ongoing quest of HealthQuest to entice doctors to come up here. And I think that they are looking either at older doctors who are looking to retire from a more stressful career at a larger hospital, or younger doctors at the beginning of their career, and they're hoping to do residencies here. So Dr. O'Day, it sounds like a really great recruit.
All right, and Patrick Sullivan with a story, how towns are coping with COVID-19 consequences.
And so that was at the COG, which is the monthly meeting of the 21 first electmen and town leaders from Litchfield County towns, and talking a lot about things that maybe don't affect most people most of the time, but certainly which affect us as journalists all the time, which is how you get access to meetings and town records, and all the towns are opening up in a slightly different way. Certainly, we try to run the property transfers every 6 months. We're about due to do that. I'm not really sure how we're going to get into the town halls and get access to those records, but we'll figure it out. And, of course, the conversations about the Housatonic River, again, which is not just an issue here in Salisbury Falls Village. It's more recently an issue here, but historically a big issue in Kent, which, of course, is farther south. It's a little easier to access from people from other area towns. But really much more an aggressive response after many, many years, not just of drownings and of danger, but also of litter, a loud noise, and cars parked unsafely.
And there is a little lecture coming up by the Salisbury Forum.
Right, online, and I think that people are really finding it's quite pleasant to do these online forums. You can pop in and out. You don't have to get dressed. You don't have to drive over there. So William Roden is the second online Salisbury forum. He'll be on Friday, July 24th. You can go to their website to find the link to sign up for it. And he is a reporter for ESPN, but also had been at the New York Times. And his thinking is, we're not really watching sports right now. Let's talk about racism in sports at this moment when we are really having a lot of conversations about how we deal with the minority members of our communities.
All right. I want to move on. You got a nice story, a sad story, but a nice story about Harper Blanchett.
An interesting, complicated story, and you don't necessarily see in the headline why this is a big deal, but Harper is a longtime artist who's lived in the area, very quirky, very interesting guy, and had been in Millerton for many years and then had moved into the space in Falls Village that was for many years the town hall. National Iron Bank in Falls Village had closed. They basically gave the building to the town of Falls Village for a dollar. They moved, but with restrictions on it. And so Falls Village moved the town hall into what had been the bank building and then had the former town hall space available, and so has had a series of renters in there, and some who are resident and some, you know, like Trish Walsh, who ran a store in there but didn't live there. There's the senior center is in that building. There's a little theater upstairs. And Harper had moved in several years ago, and the deal that he had struck with the town apparently was that he would have art shows and would do have open studio tours and make it much more of an attraction to the town center. And that didn't really happen in a way that was that was making the town happy. So they began discussions with him in about February about, you know, he was on a month-to-month lease, and they were saying, you know, we really want to start some kind of a more attractive, more active center here, perhaps a farm market. And Harper and this woman who's relatively new to the area, she had been an attorney apparently and is doing some law teaching. She took up Harper's cause, and there's a petition going on. Patrick has the link to the petition, sort of a grievance, you know, for lost income for him. And he wasn't really technically supposed to be living in the building, and he's been living in it. So he's moved out now, but the controversy with Harper and with this woman continues. But so they'll be looking to put something new in that building that they hope will bring people to town once we're able to end the quarantine.
And, of course, the story, I spoke to Mr. Mitch Gross earlier in the week about everything old is new again, about building how they used to build bridges in the old days over wet, muddy areas by just putting down logs and layers of logs and logs and logs. That's what's going on at the border of Salisbury and Sharon as the power lines are being replaced, the towers are being replaced, and it's all heavy machinery, and they've got to do it this way.
Right, and it's not just on that big road.
No.
Although that's the most visible one. It's happening on a lot of funny back roads. I think they're actually doing it right next to Dan Dwyer's house over in Salisbury, just passed on the way here. But there's a lot of smaller towers that they're getting up to, and people may remember from, I think, last summer, they're very distinctive, these mats that they lay down of square logs so that the heavy equipment can go over the grass and not destroy it. So right now you're seeing these workmen, I think a lot of them have a sign that says Supreme Industries, so they're adding fiber optic cable, not for 5G or for the use of personal telecommunications, but so that they can communicate more quickly from the power lines to the Eversource office, so if there's a breakdown, they can repair it more quickly. But also, you know, as all these infrastructure items need maintenance, they are upgrading the towers and adding new. So it's going to take a while. They're going to be out there till at least the end of the year, and then they'll be reseeding and redoing landscaping up until next spring. And then Patrick had gone over and chatted with the workmen. They're doing new water mains. Aquarian and the State Department of Transportation are fixing the water mains, but also, you know, cleaning up the roads a little bit. There's a lot of spots, once you realize it, on roads around here that have suffered through winter damage. Everybody could use a little resurfacing. There's not a lot of road resurfacing going on this year. But it sounds like, from people who are sitting out there, who live near it and are watching it, it sounds as though they may have actually started and then redone a section or two. So it is taking a while. And people keep saying, like, when are they going to be done? I'm not sure that they even know when it's going to be done, but it's going to be going on for a while. They seem to have done a pretty good job of keeping the traffic moving. But, of course, if you can find an alternate route, that's always better.
All right, we only have about 6 minutes left. There's a lot of local news this week. I want to get to the news about the beavers, though, in Sharon, because the beavers. I lived in a house when I lived in Sharon. My family had a big house. Beavers always built the dam, and twice a year, the town would have to come in and take the dam down, and you'd get a huge rush of water, which went down to the Housatonic River. But really, once beavers get in, it is quite a nuisance, and it's hard to control.
Right, and they're kind of cute, and we're glad that they're here because how wonderful that our natural environment hosts these interesting animals. But they do really wreck the roads, and you know, even there's the little road in Falls Village, I think it's Cobble Road, that also, you know, for years and years they tried to find ways to keep them from destroying the road, and it, you know, it's hard. You can't really shoot them. You can't, you know, use explosives to blow up their dams. So they figured out this interesting way of tricking them by disguising the sound of the running water, which apparently for them is like a scent lure for bugs. And it seems to be working and would be a great solution in many of our areas if they can find a way for the beavers to be happy, but to protect our roads and people's property.
All right. And in Cornwall, it's time for a new truck, and you laugh. You say, well, is that a news story? Well, yeah, because not just a truck. They're expensive trucks.
Yeah, you know, all these vehicles are expensive, and all these towns are constantly putting money aside because they know. But I think this one is from 1978, this truck. They make them last forever. And often they'll sell them again to other towns, and often they'll buy a secondhand truck from another town because, you know, they do take good care of them. But a lot of news out of Cornwall. Actually, we have 3 pages of town news just because there's a lot going on,
yeah.
And it's been a small paper lately because we're a little low in advertising, but we really felt like there was a lot that needed to be written about. But we also have Liz McCare from Salisbury, an entrepreneurial new company doing medical-grade PPE, sending it around the world. The Sharon Green, which has been remodeled and is coming out great. And we have also the Cornwall Selectmen are talking about affordable housing, and they've actually done a pretty good job in their town of having affordable housing over down in the Cornwall Bridge area, but looking for ways to bring more in.
All right, I want to go to the Viewpoint and editorial pages right now. Once again, and every good cartoonist draws reactions, and Peter Steiner is not only a good cartoonist, I think he's a great cartoonist. His latest cartoon is a person on getting ready to be operated on. We'll be doing the surgery without masks or gloves because we're Americans and we love our freedom. That's sure to get more reaction. But I tell you, he's done a great job.
But, you know, that's okay.
That's
the visual says it all, too.
Yeah.
You can hear that caption, but until you see the visual with it, doesn't have the full effect.
Yes. I want to go to your editorial, though. Isn't it possible keeping safe and being responsible while communing with nature?
Yeah, and this is all intertwined with what we've all been covering for so long, actually. This is not just this year that we've had unsafe conditions at the falls in our area. Of course, they're beautiful magnets for people who love nature and want to relax on the weekend, but the last thing anyone wants to have happen at the end of such a day is a call to 911, and that's what everyone's trying to avoid. So we talk about that and some of the answers that should be out there. And Bulls Bridge has found a way to close off their area. It's not simple, and they have volunteers helping with it on a day-to-day basis. But for safety and to preserve these areas, it's necessary to come up with a real solution.
And you do have lots of letters, everything from the Kent Library, the cartoon, a defense for the Falls Village Housing Trust, the Sharon Hospital, I mean, the dog park. I mean, lots of letters this week.
Lots of letters on many different topics and back and forths. And it is interesting that, I'll say that we are so fortunate to have Peter Steiner doing cartoons for us, a world-class cartoonist. Gets a smile out of me every week. And we've had disagreements on whether the cartoons are funny or not. Sometimes they're political, and
they're provocative, like they're meant to be. They're meant to stir your a great cartoonist is provocative. It stirs people, whether they like it or not, into thinking and to action.
That's right. So we love that, and we love that the affordable housing initiative in Falls Village is getting lots of comment, and we have two letters this week on that, as well as, yes, the dog park, and two columns, Carol Asher on change being part of our living history, and Dick Ollis on an American tragedy. You can read it to find out what that might be.
All right, and 100 years ago today in Salisbury, Miss Helen Harding was assisting at the Twin Lakes Tea Room. There we go.
That's great.
And we will lead in the last minute and a half to 2 minutes to Compass.
So Five Points is this little gallery in Torrington. And, you know, we see a lot of little galleries, and they're all sort of doing their best to get by. But Judith McAlone, who is the creator-director of Five Points, really is a visionary and, from all reports, really is a woman who knows how to get things done. And she had looked at the University of Connecticut campus in Torrington, which was closed down several years ago, and is really a beautiful property. It's actually a very well-maintained building and a lot of acreage around it, including, I think, John Brown, the abolitionist's birthplace. It's just as you enter Torrington. And so Judith had figured out a way to purchase for 5 points the that UConn property, which is a great thing for people in the region because it's a wonderful property that had been sort of potentially was wasting away and now will have purpose, and a great, exciting way to create a new arts campus for artists in the area. And so she's planning all sorts of, like, an outdoor sculpture garden and teaching programs there, and they had first made the announcement, I think, about a year ago that they were going to do this in principle and had made the deal with UConn, and now they've actually gone ahead and purchased it. And so we'll be keeping an eager eye out to see what they're going to be doing, and they're doing interesting shows at their gallery in Torrington. And we had one on the show last week. There's a new one opening, I think, next week coming up. Then the Sharon Playhouse, if you haven't been over there, it's super fun. I've been going out to the two shows that they've had July 4th weekend. They had the three female singers.
America's Sweethearts were in, yeah.
America's Sweethearts were great. And then this weekend they've got a group of male singers, tenors from New Jersey coming, and they're singing everything from opera to Frank Sinatra to Bon Jovi. So that promises to be really fun. My friend Dave and I always go in his pickup truck and are surprised that more people aren't out there in pickups. It lends itself so beautifully to it. Just throw a couple chairs in the back of the pickup, bring a little picnic. And so the shows are already proving so popular that the Saturday show has sold out. The Sunday show, as far as I know, still has tickets.
Yeah, they're not tickets here. They're for cars, $50 per car, and you can put as many people in your car or truck as you want.
You can fit, yeah.
I think there's like 5 or 6 slips left, which will be gone by the time the show comes up. There's no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, bring bug spray and a citronella candle if you can, but it's really extremely pleasant and actually nice and cool.
I gave the Jersey Tenors a little note. I said, be prepared. They don't clap in between numbers. They honk horns. That could be a little discouraging.
That's a really funny. It's the first time you experience it, but I guess it's one of those super logical things. I didn't think anybody had to explain to people to do that. They just started doing it.
Yeah. All right. Those are just some of the stories in the Lakeville Journal. You'll find more online and, of course, in the paper. The paper is available throughout the area and online, tricornernews.com. We'll speak to you guys again next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com.